It's 11 o'clock on Sunday night. Are you naked? Well, put some clothes on before the cops pull you over. But keep it tuned to AM 1240 WGBB Freeport, because Dave's Gone By starts right now. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the day. I'm making that an extra long neighborhood because you have one or two extra minutes here to begin Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night. It is July 13th, so that makes it the second Sunday in July. I'm trying to keep track of these, and I have no idea why that matters to me, but I like to do a nice long neighborhood when I have the extra time because it's a way of welcoming you to this program, which is comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, all that kind of thing, a little different every week, and have loved doing it since October 2002 on this station, WGBB Freeport. And what makes it even more fun for me to be here with you on Dave's Gone By is to do it with my good friend and my usual guest co-host, Mr. Jeffrey Goodman. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Dave.
Oh, what's the matter, Jeff?
No, I'm only kidding. I just wanted to be boring.
Okay. Did you have a good weekend, Jeff Goodman?
I had an okay weekend.
All right, yeah, me too.
I dealt the Texas Hold'em last night.
Oh, where?
At my new temple. See, we can't say the name because the temple officially doesn't have a name because we never voted on it yet.
So it's the formal Temple Judea that merged?
Well, Temple Judea is now closed.
Right.
And we're in the former suburban temple building.
But it's not
and
called,
we're just called New Temple.
Can we call it Temple X?
Yes. Temple X.
Or if there's women involved or trannies, we can call it Temple XY. I think that would be all right. I don't know what that means.
XY is men. XX is women.
Oh, so wait, no, but isn't there that baby XY that's kind of a both thing?
No, there's like an XXY. That's the chromosomes, the X and the Y chromosome.
Oh, all right, well, either way, so how did Texas Hold'em go?
Oh, my God. First of all, A, the people on Long Island really like to gamble.
Duh, yeah.
And
you haven't seen them line up for the 90-year-old women lining up for buses?
No, it wasn't 90-year-old woman. I'm very surprised.
Okay, 88-year-old woman.
No. It was a lot of people in their 40s.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, and you'd like it because it was a lot of hot babes there for you.
Really?
Yes.
In this new temple.
In this new temple.
Hot Jewish babes.
But I must say, I do have a little rant to tell about.
Yeah.
Before we got into that, all of a sudden, I tried going down the new temple's on Jerusalem Avenue, and like right near Belmore Avenue or
it's
something.
It's like Hempstead or where is that?
No, it's in it's like the border of North Belmore and North Wausau.
Okay.
So I tried to get there via Jerusalem Avenue, going over the Wausau Parkway, but before the Wausau Parkway, they closed off the road. I said, what's going on? The policeman shrugged and just kept pointing me to go to the right.
Okay.
Said, all right.
One of those minimum wage policemen.
Yes. A severely underpaid Nassau County police officer. And then, although they're very nice, because I don't want to get stopped on the way home.
That's right.
But,
And what's that license plate of yours again?
It's
Dancy Schmancy 5 or something like that?
Stop it.
Okay, so tell more.
Don't even get way too close to that. Anyway, so then, and I turned right, and it basically made me turn back to get onto the southern state where I'd just gotten off of. So I said, okay, I'll go the other way. I'll get off at 106 Newbridge Road.
Okay.
And go east.
Yeah.
Down Jerusalem. Well, I get off there, I go down, the road's closed, and he points me. I said, I'd like to go to my synagogue, thank you. I said, how do I get there? He shrugs, But this time, I wouldn't move. I said, how am I going to get there? He goes, I don't know. Where's the synagogue? I said, it's right down the block. He tells me now, go to Sunrise Highway.
Yeah.
And try and come up. And I'm not going to take the 20-minute drive to Sunrise Highway to come back again. So I got back onto the Southern State, going east now. Figure the kidneys here. Got off at Belmore Avenue. Figure, well, maybe I can just, like, park somewhere. But I go down. I see the road's blocked off again. I said, oh, no. So I keep turning down roads and going as far east as I can. And all of a sudden, there are like a million fire trucks everywhere. And I'm weaving in and out of fire trucks. And then it turns out it was Nassau County's fireman parade for some reason.
Oh, okay.
So all the fire trucks in Nassau County were right by my
family. That's why all those buildings burned down on my block.
That's right.
I was wondering where they were.
They won't let you cross any streets. I had to park about 5 blocks from my synagogue and walk. And at first they weren't going to let me do it. I said, can I get to my synagogue? I mean, it's Saturday and they're blocking the way to a synagogue?
Oh, this was yesterday.
This was last night.
Yeah.
So anyone who wants to go to a service, how are you going to get there?
Wow.
Ridiculous.
I guess they have to do this every year or something like that. It was like a really special event.
I have no idea.
Well,
there was no notices, nothing.
Okay. Well, you got there eventually.
Yes, I walked there, but I was late for dinner.
Oh.
Because the volunteers get dinner.
Oh.
But it was a lovely feast.
Good. Well,
which I ate heartily and fastly.
Yeah. Well, did the rabbi make the vegetarian chili?
No, actually, our rabbi is on the rabbi that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is on vacation this month.
Ooh.
So,
So
I hope he's having a
The other rabbi made real food, like with meat.
Well, the rabbis really aren't there to cook.
No.
it's kind of the sisterhood cooked.
Okay.
And it was very nice.
Well, we have to get cooking with this edition of Dave's Gone By.
Oh, just cut off my story, why don't you?
There's more. There's more to the scintillating story
of parking. I had to get someone's driving.
No, let's call the New York Post and Newsday because I can realize it gets better.
No, but I had to get someone to drive me because we couldn't find my car on the way back. Well, I didn't remember where I parked it.
No, they're CNN. We just lost them. Oh, well. God, and they were calling from World News Service, too.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah.
Hate you.
get in line. Anyway, you know who doesn't hate me? Our wonderful sponsors.
They hate you, too.
Yeah, but at least they give us a little bit of money, and they support this program. And those folks include...
They include the Copy Kings of Broadway.
Hewlett. Minuteman.
Minuteman Press.
Here for about 3 decades now on Broadway in Hewlett.
And they outlasted Loman's Shoes.
By about 28 years, exactly. I think Loman's was around longer, the actual Loman's across the street. But Hewlett Minuteman Press, owned by the Torong family, that's Torong with a T, since the mid-1970s, they do great work, and they'll give you 10% off any job, big or small, if you tell them Dave's Gone By sent you.
Boy, I'm so glad I'm not a member of that family.
Why?
Can you imagine going through school? Torong rhymes with moron.
Yeah, well, duh. Well, I'm sure they got it. I'm sure they heard that once.
I feel bad for them. Now I have to do some copying with them again.
Please do. I can get 10% off.
Oh, I will, because I want 20% off.
No, they'll give you 10% off.
But I want 20.
Well, spend a whole lot of money.
I'll go twice.
So what about, that's a good idea. You know where else you can spend, you can save an even bigger percentage of money, save even more money? If you care about the theater.
At Performing Arts Insider Magazine?
That is correct. Do you know that you can get a 1-year subscription to Performing Arts Insider Theater Journal for only $120? That's more than $50 off the regular cover price, the regular subscription price.
What's the regular cover price?
Well, it's $15 an issue. So,
and you're giving you're just giving them away at $10 an issue?
It's free except for the $10 you got to cough up. Yes. But that's a pretty good discount right there. And it tells you everything you need to know.
And then
about,
if I say I'm a Dave's Gone By listener, what happens?
No, that is the discount. So it's everything you need to
know.
But
I want more.
More?
I'm a discount pig.
Well, I don't know about the discount part. Thank you so much. Sorry, that was mean.
No, discount pig would be even funnier.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, regional theater, everything you need to know about theater.
It is an absolute necessity for any theater professional.
So go to performingartsinsider.com.
Or wannabe professional.
Yeah, and that's who gets this magazine. A lot of professionals in the business, in television and radio, people who book for the famous talk shows, they subscribe to Performing Arts Insider. It's for the people...
Famous talk shows.
People in the know who need to know.
The people who book for us get it.
Oh, definitely, absolutely. And they get it at the special Dave's Gone By discount. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com. And then there's one other sponsor that we have to... it's this crappy balloon place. What is it?
I don't know.
Really?
I'm so stupid.
Rack your brain. Well, FS are the initials.
Oh.
The owner's kind of an idiot, but he means well.
It's a fart.
No.
Fart.
Or are you asking me to do that?
Fart, no. Can you?
No. I'll give you 5 more seconds. 5, 4, 3,
2.
Fancy Schmancy Balloons. No, you missed it. Fancy Schmancy, which is not just balloons. It's making your party look really, really good with centerpieces and special designs, and really, you're one-stop design shop.
It fancy schmancifies your whole life.
Is that going to be your slogan for that?
No.
No, I hope not. No. Do you have a slogan? Does fancy schmancy have a...
You deserve a fancy schmancy party.
Okay. Don't you deserve a fancy schmancy party? What's the phone number people can call if they do?
That would be area code 516-797-3229.
Say it one more time.
Otherwise known as area code 516-797-3229.
Fancy schmancy balloons. Okay, now we got all that stuff out of the way. Let's tell you what we've got.
Wait, tell the weekly discount of fancy schmancy.
Oh, is there?
Well, you make it up every week.
Oh, well, no. I'm not going to make up a discount for your business.
Sure, make it up.
Okay. For this week, from now until next Saturday night, if you book a party, you don't have to have the party this week, but you have to book it with Jeff this week, you get 30% off. Jeff's looking at me like he wants to kill me now.
No, that's okay.
I mean, that's a big percentage, but 30% off anything you
book. Because no one's going to call.
Well, they're not going to call right now because
we go to Jeff's mommy here.
But tomorrow, call...
And they have to answer a mystery question.
516-797-3229. No time for that. Just give them 30% off and fancy schmancy.
By the way, are we going to give a gift subscription of Performing Arts Insider to Angelina Jolie?
Why?
She gave birth.
So?
The twins will need something to read.
I guess one would take the left page and one would take the right.
That's right.
It's like when they're not on the boobies, they're doing the other thing. I don't know. Actually, can breastfeeding women do that? Can you put one kid on one boob and one kid on the other, or does it have to be separate?
I believe so.
Separate kids on separate
boobs. I think
boobs.
You can milk in stereo. Because you move from boob to boob.
Right. And if you have twins and a gay kid, I don't even know. I'm not even going to go further than that.
It wouldn't be a gay kid now, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Anywho, let's
someone's wishing he gave milk.
Now, the reason I'm being so vulgar and disgusting about this is our guest takes vulgarity and complete outrageousness to a whole other level. And the really great part about this is he hasn't just been doing this recently. Since the mid-1970s, the early 70s, John Valby...
He's been filthy.
And you know what they call him?
Dr. Dirty.
Dr. Dirty. John Valby has been performing in clubs mostly along the Northeast, but really all over the country. You think of him like the X-rated, outrageous Tom Lehrer or Alan Sherman. He does novelty songs, parody songs, sits at the piano, gets a crowd around him, and within minutes, everybody's having a good time, laughing, singing along, saying absolutely the most obscene things.
How does he go on in the Midwest? That's what I want to know.
I'll bet he goes over it great. You get a couple of drinks into anybody. In fact, I'm going to ask him how he started. How did suddenly, when you consider he wasn't around that many years later than people like Lenny Bruce and George Carlin were getting into trouble for using dirty words in public, how is he suddenly saying the most anatomically, scatologically disgusting songs in the world and doing fine? All this, plus we'll play a little bit of his music, can't really play...
You can only play like 30% of his music.
30%? The man gave me 3 CDs to choose from to like... play for his interview here, I think about 2% is actually playable on the radio. Because it isn't just the dirty words. It's the whole content of it. It's filth. But it's joyful filth. You'll have to use your imagination, folks, or go to johnvalbynation.com, the website. But we're going to bring him out right after a commercial or two. So don't go away. A real something of a legend in the music and
a
comedy
Long Island
biz.
Legend.
Actually, he's not originally from Long Island. But in these parts, people know him. Because he's been very popular in the circuit.
Okay.
So, Dr. Dirty, John Valby.
Can't wait.
In the neighborhood. Don't go away. Minute Man, the superheroes of photocopying, printing and binding. Minute Man, no job too big or small. Minute Man, family run since 1975. Minute Man, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, next to the new Lowman's Shoe Store. Tell them Dave sent you for 10% off. Minuteman, hero of our photocopying dreams.
I just played up in Boston about a month ago, and here's the song. Picks up a kid in the vestibule after the match. Presses his ass. Later that evening, corners an altar boy in the confessional booth. Baptizes his tomb. All those Catholic perverts, where do they all come from? All those church donations pumped up some young boy's bum. Cardinal denial transfers the priest to a parish that's right down the street. It's full of fresh meat. Bishop McBugger passing communion with one hand still under his frock. Pounding his all those pervert parents, let's throw them in the clink. All those Irish Catholics, no wonder why they drink.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening. Very excited and very happy to have the guest that we've got on the phone right now. And let me tell you how far this goes back. It's got to be 20 years or more, and it relates to a cousin of mine who has sort of my sense of humor. We both have a very sick and dark and crazy sense of humor, and I was, you know, turning him on to things like Monty Python and Dr. Demento and all strange things like that. And then he passed me a tape one time, sort of a live bootleggy kind of a tape. I'm sorry if the guest is hearing this and now wants some kind of royalties or something, but it made me an instant fan of the person who's on the phone right now. His name is John Valby, and he's been singing in nightclubs and college campuses and pretty much wherever he can for years and years because he sings the most filthy, scatological, raucous, dirty, obscene songs.
Thank you.
You've ever heard. And proudly so. And this is before, I mean, now, of course, you turn on HBO, every comedian, every other word out of their mouth, or you know, it's nothing now. Gilbert Gottfried doing the aristocrats joke, and it's we laud it as national treasure. But
right.
Dr. Dirty, John Valby, started doing these songs, it wasn't quite like that. So, welcome, first of all, to the neighborhood, Dr. Dirty, John Valby.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be here.
And so, you were a classically trained pianist.
Yes.
So how did you go from doing that to singing songs that we can't even... You know, we had three CDs that someone who works with Dr. Dirty sent to us so that we could choose from and play on the show. There was one song we were able to find that would actually pass muster. Because they're just... I mean, the things that you can put into or take out of vaginas, I've never in my life... come across. So anyway, I'm sorry to ramble like that, but again, classical pianist to being Mr. Filth.
How?
Yeah, well, you know, I joined rock and roll bands, and it was hard keeping the bands together, so I decided to do a solo act. The first night I threw in three mildly dirty songs, and the next place was a small place, an engine room and a showboat. The place was packed. They wanted to hear those same three songs over and over. So basically, I became a mirror. What the crowd responded to, I kept. And what they didn't, I kind of left out. And it turns out people are 20 times dirtier than I ever thought.
Oh, yeah. And this is, again, we're talking 1971.
Yeah, 74 is when I started.
Which is, that's around the time also when Dr. Demento was getting started. So there was an underground, I guess, movement in a way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've been doing underground dirty stuff forever. Do you remember that newspaper called The Pearl? It was in England. That's where they first wrote The Man from Nantucket and all that kind of stuff. It was written by some of the best writers of the day, but under fake names because everybody's dirty, really.
Oh, yeah, filthy, horrible.
And it's just that sometimes we're allowed to say it and sometimes we're not. You know, it's true about that HBO and stuff. Everybody's doing it now. But, boy, back when I started, you couldn't say hardly anything. I mean, people went nuts if I said the F word.
Well, you were only then just a few years after Lenny Bruce, I mean, who was considered like the godfather, the grandfather
right.
of being able to... Were you ever threatened with any kind of legal problems for what you were doing?
You know, yes. Once I played at a college and I got a girl to shoot a moon... And the campus cop arrested me and fingerprinted me and all this kind of stuff.
You're not going to. I'm, believe it or not, relatively straight laced and uptight. Is there a way to describe what shooting a moon? I mean, she just mooned you. Is that what shooting a moon is?
Oh no, shooting a moon is coming up on stage, turning around, and dropping your skivvies.
Right, mooning.
Mooning, and hopefully. You know, a little wiggle in there always makes the crowd yell.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's not so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean,
I thought she was going to be projecting ping pong balls or something.
Oh no, no, but that has happened, but yeah. not at this particular time.
Actually, hold on. I've been working on this one ping pong ball. One second.
Oh. Oh God.
Oh wow, four of them. I did a four bagger. Oh, that's sure. Wonderful. Oh, I'm sore now. I'm a little bit bloody, but it was worth the effect.
You can say that, and I can't say any of the words.
No, well, the word, believe it or not, sometimes the words are worse. But then again, so many of your songs have to do with biological, sexual, and excretory functions, and
yeah.
That's that kind of is what gets the FCC uptight, as well as S and F and MF and. The C words, which I love, of course. As anybody who knows me.
In the right circumstance,
yeah.
They're perfect. You know?
Now, you are 63 years old.
Yes, I am.
So, and has it become a grind to travel and go into the campus? I mean, do you go all over the country or just the Northeast or what?
Mostly the East. I mean, I still do a little West Coast stuff, but... that's really far to go to do this. I have more jobs than I can handle.
Oh, good.
Here, you know, luckily, knock on wood. And, well, yeah, the travel is a little harder. The show is really just as much fun. You know, it's fun when you're 63 still being a juvenile teenager, you know?
That's true. I mean, you get to go up there and the years melt away and you're just singing the dirtiest possible songs that would have made you blush and giggle when you were 14.
Yes.
And here you are and you're writing them, some of them, too.
Yes. Me and my buddy Ron, we go on the road together. And, you know, when we write stuff mostly is on the way home when we're exhausted and we just start laughing and getting silly and saying stupid things and... Sometimes you write them down, and the next week they're funny.
And those are the ones you kind of keep, and some of them are topical. Which
yeah,
I didn't
but
really...
yeah, I always say, oh, I can't wait for this election year. It's going to be great.
You
an old fart against the black guy. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, man. Now, this is interesting. Something, at least from the way you responded to things, events post 9/11 and to the war in Iraq and all that, you seem kind of right-wing politically. Or are you both
you know,
sides of the fence?
That's... Not really true, but I am registered independent, but, you know, I pick on both sides equally. You know, I pick on the liberals for being panty-waist little spotted owl lovers, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Whereas you're a spotted owl eater, and kind of thing. And whereas the Republicans are what?
Republicans are knee-jerk Nazis.
Oh well,
care about only about their bottom line.
Okay,
you know, but you know, I consider it more American, the response to 9/11 and all that stuff. You know, you just, you know, you rabble rouse for your country. That's to me, you know, where else in the world can I say whatever the kind of things I say about the president or the president's wife? Or I mean, it's just awesome, this country you got. I love it.
Iceland, perhaps. Little pockets of Iceland.
Iceland?
Yeah.
Switzerland, but...
But it wasn't just 9/11. I mean, even the whole Iraq thing.
It
was about Saddam, and you're blitzing. I mean, do you change when you're doing sort of more southerly kind of places? Do you play more to what you anticipate their politics would be? And then when you're more northeast, you go, you hit the right harder?
No, not really. I would say the pattern of response can be different. You know, sometimes I'll, like recently, I will pick on Hillary in a place where, boy, there were a lot of people that were supporting her, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the laugh wouldn't be as hard, and I'd pick up on that, and, you know, then I'd hit Barack a little harder. I pretty much... Because the jokes are so silly and stupid, they can't take me seriously. I'm in a derby and a bow tie. You can't take me seriously.
Was that from the beginning, too? When did the costume...
Yeah, when I first started in the showboat, I tried a number of outfits. I always had the derby and the bow tie, but one night I put on a white suit, and everything just worked, because you look like a little ice cream man. You look so innocent in the white, and all the filthy stuff comes out, and... And so I stuck with it.
Does it ever, I wouldn't say bother you, but because you're playing to the kinds of crowds that you're playing, and they're all raucous, and generally they've probably had a few, if not a ton full, that you can't generally be subtle. You can't write a Randy Newman kind of song. Everything you do has kind of got to be nail on the head, like pow.
You know, I can do that the first song or the second song, but once you start nailing a few, you can't go back to the subtle, unless the subtle is extremely funny, or they already know it, and they just want to hear it just because they like that song. But so any of the newer, subtler stuff, I start off with, and then you go to the, and try to get harder, you know. But it is hard, you're right, it is hard to go backwards.
Okay, listen to me. No, I mean listen to me on Compact Disc, where bunches of past episodes of Dave Has Gone By are yours to hear over and over again. Comedy sketches like Mel's a Poppin' and Handyman Yoni. Visits with guests like Reckless Eric and Julie Haggerty. Punchlines and politics in the news gone by. All just $11 a disc, shipping included. Visit davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511 for me on CD.
The long and winding turd that floats in the bowl will never disappear. I've flushed that load before. Don't bother plunging it. It just pops up for more.
We are talking with Dr. Dirty John Valby here in the neighborhood, and just having a wonderful time talking to you, and can't tell you how many times we used to play that cassette, that purloined cassette. I'm assuming it was just a tape of a CD, or no, back then it was like a record that you did, but maybe it was someone sneaking it into a club just to share it and bring it out to the world of the kind of music and things that you do. But I noticed on your website that you also, along your career, have done more, I wouldn't say serious, but more pop kind of numbers that weren't novelty-esque or weren't obscene-esque.
Yes.
What were some of your dabblings in that?
You know, I did a bunch of that new age instrumental kind of stuff. I did some children's stuff, believe it or not.
You're kidding me.
And, you know, but not really any of it commercially successful. You know, I'm... I consider myself one of the world's worst butt kissers, if you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, that's okay. Even ass. And, ass kissers is fine. Yeah,
I'm just not good. And those record companies that control everything that gets on the radio, I'm just not in with that circle, you know. And so.
But you've been able to to carve out a career on full time living as Dr. Dirty, John Valby, doing, basically it's the touring thing. That's where the money comes from?
Yes, basically, although things are going well on iTunes now. I finally have an outlet that people can get to. You know, certain places would carry CDs and records in the old days, but not many, you know, because kids can walk in. But now with iTunes, man, it's great.
I'm a little surprised that over the years, especially how long you've been doing that, and the cult level of your popularity, and that's cult, C-U-L-T, as opposed to a word that you use occasionally, that HBO or Showtime or those kinds of people never quite sniffed around for a special or something like that. Or did they, and it just didn't work out?
I think they did sniff one time, and the story I heard was there was some girl who didn't like the song "The End of the Month" that I did, and you know, so and I didn't have a really good connection either. But you know, who knows? That's all the inner workings of somebody else, and you know, and it's still not who you know; it's who you blow. You know, and I'm just not in that mode.
Right. Okay. I think we can keep that line. I'm not sure. Might have to run that by a few people here. Now, what may shock people more than anything, your songs can be pretty darn shocking, but after hearing a few of your songs, and I hope people will go to, what's your website? JohnValbyNation.com?
JohnValby.com, or there's John Valby Nation. There's a bunch of them out there. But if you type in John Valby, it'll come up.
So, yeah, I mean, that'd be the first thing under Google as well, for V-A-L-B-Y, John Valby. So, as shocking as all that stuff is and out there, it's even almost more shocking to know that you're a family man with five kids.
Yes, actually six.
Oh, no, wait a minute. When did the... Is it that new?
Well, the youngest one's 14, so it's not that new.
You need to change your website.
Oh, well, you know, I... I don't... I remember, I'm an old fart, so I don't... The web is a new stuff, and I...
Or is one of those kids, like, with a different woman somewhere in, like, an igloo?
No, it's not like an NBA star. No.
So how long have you been married?
This time, 16 years now.
Okay. Oh, so you were married before?
Yes.
Now, the first marriage, was that what killed that? Was it the traveling? Was it the touring? Was it?
No, but there was a marriage where the traveling killed it. And basically... Now I go home every week. You know, I just go out 3-4 days. That's it.
Right.
I used to go out 10 days at a time. And being a younger man, you go on the road 10 days at a time. I don't care who you are, you're gonna get it somewhere.
You're gonna slip and fall and
yeah,
into it.
Especially you know, in the bars when you're drinking, when all these women are getting hot and bothered, you know, with the dirty stuff. And anyway, Bab, I'm making excuses for having lack of self-control.
So, however, now that you're doing it, or at least this is what you're saying on the radio and to your wife, who knows the real story, but in this recent marriage, the current one, number three, I guess it must be. Four?
I guess it's three. I don't know. I don't keep track.
I'm not the best mathematician, but from the counting there, I was...
There's been three, absolutely.
So there still must be temptation. I mean, you're still playing the same kinds of places, even if you're only doing them 3 days in a row.
Yeah, but I'm an old guy now, so that my little general is no longer in charge. and so
does he need a blue pill too?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just harmless little flirting. If there's no follow through on anything.
Right. Well, I mean, even on the website, you occasionally have to do the topless contests and the wet T-shirt stuff and the. Or was that also in the past?
Oh time? No, but it's not like contests. They come up and just do it. I would say like last night I played and probably autographed 15 sets of. You
knockers.
Say hooters.
Hooters is fine.
Lung bags.
Yeah. Mammalians. Yeah. What else? Oh, we can... No, there's a million that
would close. Bodacious Tatas.
Yeah. Over the boulders. Something. Oh, well, anyway, you autographed them. Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was talking about that where I just today heard some big star saying he was with autographed people on their skin and women and stuff like that, and women were actually getting tattoos of the autograph on them.
Yes, they do that. Yes, they do, and they have done that. I've done that with many people. They come back and show me the tattoo. There's my signature.
Creepy, man.
It does seem slightly absurd to me, but, you know, if it's fun for them, God bless them.
Oh, honey, make sweet love to me.
Huh?
Can't you put down that stupid book?
In a minute, dear.
You said that 20 minutes ago. What's so special about marriage, babies, and the end of the world?
Well, it's a collection of plays by radio host Dave Lefkowitz.
Why do you want to read a bunch of plays?
Because they're hilarious.
How'd you even buy that book?
Online at davesgoneby.org. $20. And they've got trade paperbacks for 12.
You would rather read Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World than ride me like a hot stallion?
Well, maybe we can compromise.
Wow, I love this book!
Oh, and you too, hon.
How about... She was born in the suburb of Boston, born with a spoon in her mouth. She had everything money could buy her. In late fall, the family went south. She was a cultured lady, a pampered baby, but oh.
John Valby, Dr. Dirty, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By. Rock on, bro!
I guess this would help a lot with the fact that you're a concert giver and you have to judge an audience all the time and see what from minute to minute, see what their reactions are and how to when a crowd needs to calm down a little bit, when you need to lift them up a little bit. You have a Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy.
I do.
What first of all, what possessed you to get a philosophy degree. You must have known you would be doing something in the arts to get a degree that useless.
I don't know. I was brought up a Catholic, and I had serious questions about the nature of the universe and what we're doing here and struggling with all that stuff, and I loved BSing about that stuff. And well, I did philosophy in college, and hence my theme song is Philosophical Bull Bleep.
Right, okay.
And I start every show with that song.
Is there a verse you can kind of, any verse you can share with us, or would we be in problematic?
No, you may be promised to be good.
Okay, that's fair. And you were, again, this kind of astonishes me, but now if we roll it back, you were in the Army?
Yes, I was in the Army during Vietnam time. I didn't go to Vietnam. I was in Texas and Georgia, and I worked in a paperwork section that sent people to Vietnam.
Wait, so you knew George Bush?
No, he didn't show up. Don't you recall that? They just signed his name in.
Well, wait a minute. But were you there at the same time around? No, couldn't have. Or were you?
I
in other words, did you actually see his name?
1966.
Yeah.
66 to 68.
Right. So, no, but what I'm saying is, did you actually have any run-ins, even with seeing his name on a piece of paper there, or anything?
Oh, no.
Oh,
well,
you just
not with any of the Bushes. No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Fort Hood, Texas at that time was way smaller than it is now. I did go back, and I played in a bar right next to Fort Hood and tried to find my old place. I couldn't even find it. It's so huge how much it's changed.
Wow.
You know, all those Texas presidents, all the money goes to Texas, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know how that government works.
Unfortunately. Well, no, actually I don't. I just assume it's corrupt and
yeah.
Everybody else can fill in the blanks on that. But how did you get out of going to NAM?
The truth is, if your dossier came in on a Saturday, you automatically went to Vietnam. If your dossier came in Monday through Friday, they looked at a score you had on kind of an intelligence test. If it was above a certain number, they called you in and interviewed you. If they liked you, they kept you on the fort. If they didn't like you, you went to Vietnam. I swear to God, that's exactly how it was.
And did they like the smart people, or did they like the dumb?
They liked smart people because they wanted somebody on the fort that could handle the stuff that they wanted done. And but if you came in on a Saturday, nobody looked at it, and you automatically went to a unit that went to Vietnam.
And was it lottery-esque what would happen on a Saturday, or was it particular?
Yeah, it was kind of lottery-esque. Also, at that time, the main computer in the Pentagon would send down random lists of the guys, and these guys were supposed to go to Vietnam. But if they liked you and you were filling a position, they would send a delete card in, and boom, you didn't have to go.
Nice.
I also personally watched a guy come in who was going to Vietnam and sit there and say, I can't go, and cry, and they let him out.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, I would totally do that. I would eat knife onions for an hour before going to the draft board, show them my flat feet, my bunions.
You know, most of the guys, 90% of the guys that went to Vietnam never heard a gun fired. Because I was in the place where these guys all came back. Most of them never heard a gun fired. They were in supply. They were in this or that, transportation, communication, it was mostly volunteers that went up to fighting. You don't want a guy next to you that doesn't want to be there. You want a guy who wants to fight. You know.
Well, they found 53,000 who were ready to fight
and
die.
Oh God! Yeah. It was a different macho time, wasn't it?
Not necessarily. Who goes to Iraq? Who signs up for now the National Guard or the Army?
They are all
so
volunteers now, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. I mean, if you have no other options for jobs, that's one thing. But there's still crazy people out there. It's like, well, yeah, I'm here, and I just wish we'd see some fighting. There are people who think like that, you know?
The people in the desert think that way.
Hmm.
Look at them, the guys that blow themselves up for their cause. I mean, you have to admire that in a philosophical sense, although I think they're nuts.
I wish we had that for the causes here, like prostate cancer. Wilford Brimley, like, stands in the middle of Hollywood with a little TNT and blows himself up for prostate cancer.
I thought he had diabetes.
Or so, okay, yeah, whatever he has. You know, B. Arthur immolates herself for breast cancer. Or she sets her old prostate on fire. I'm not sure.
A bad man, Dave.
Yeah, I'm pretty evil myself. You're Dr. Dirty, I'm Dr. Vicious, Wicked, and Horrible. But if you had to choose, we've got to wrap it up with Dr. Dirty, John Valby here. Of all the songs that you've written, rewritten, or just revitalized in the way that you do, do you have a couple of favorites of all time? Because it must be thousands now.
Oh, yeah, favorites, you know. My sister's favorite is The End of the Month.
There you go.
And there's very few objectionable words in that, but the thoughts are really dirty.
Would you mind, can you do a little bit of that?
You can tell by the smell that she isn't feeling well as the end of the month rolls around. Scrape it up in a jar, you've got instant caviar as the end of the month rolls around. It's no surprise on her thighs when you see a million flies. You can tell by the crunch there's some options in her lunch. If you absolutely must, you'll just have to pop the crust. I mean, there's no end to those.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good one. I love the Billy Joel song we do. Just like a woman, it's hard to set up.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Thank you.
Hey,
I knew
you
were laughing, man. This is we've been talking with the wonderful John Valby. Go see him when he's in town. When he's. I mean, you do. How many gigs do you do a year, roughly?
Oh, roughly 100 a year.
Oh,
all one-nighters.
So you've slowed down a little, but that's still pretty darn good.
Yeah.
That's still pretty neat. And one thing that says that you're always on that kind of old-time rinky-dink piano. Does the piano travel with you?
I bring the piano with me, and it's an old case. The case is from 1922, but I have an electric inside of it.
Oh.
So it's always in tune, as long as I don't spill beer in it, because sometimes I can lose a couple octaves, you know. But, no, it's in real good tune. It's a Korg. It sounds great. Really does.
And do you have to have a truck to transport everything then? Or
I have a van. We got everything in the van. I got, you know, some good Rams of speakers. And most places I go now have a sound system. So.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
I do want to ask. Just one more question occurred to me. Because of the types of places that you play and the mood that the audience is in when they see you, and that you keep. Have you ever witnessed some like amazing bar fights? And you
no, very maybe one, maybe two small fights the whole time I've done it, because I get people to laugh and sing, and when they're blowing off steam by yelling "F you" back at me and screaming and yelling, and so they don't fight.
Yeah. I love it. I think this is what we should be sending you to the Middle East. Condoleezza Rice. Yeah. Well, John Valby, it's been a delight and a lot of laughs, actually. And all I can say is F you, John Valby.
Thank you, Dave. I hope to see you someday.
All right, how many people know the candy bar poem? One payday, Mr. Goodbar wanted a bit of honey. So he took his Miss Hershey behind the powerhouse on the corner of Fifth Avenue and Clark, where he there began to feel her mounds. And that was an almond joy, which definitely made his Tootsie Roll. He let out a snicker as he slipped his Butterfinger up her Kit Kat. Which, of course, calls the Milky Way. She screamed, "Oh, Henry!" as she squeezed his Peter, Paul, and Zag nuts and said, "You're better than the Three Musketeers."
If you're like me, you agree that television could always be a little more Jewish. Well, our prayers are answered every Wednesday and Friday morning, 7:30, on Cablevision Channel 115, Rabbi Saul Solomon, that's me, hosts Shalom Dammit. I do Bible studies, sermons, vaginal exercises, whatever I damn well want. See all the episodes on YouTube.com, but also 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings on Cablevision Channel 115. And if you live in Manhattan, Sundays 1:30 p.m. on Channel 67. Shalom, damn it! It's Jewish and it's proud!
What's playing on Broadway? I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Why is it special? Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511, or see PerformingArtsInsider.com. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, welcome back to Dave's Gone By and this Broadway theater segment brought to you by Performing Arts Insider magazine. And got Jeff Goodman also back on mic to help me out with some of the Broadway stuff and the Broadway news. And I just realized I've got the wrong piece of paper in front of me, so just give me one moment. Jeff, talk to me.
Thank you. Well, you seem to have really enjoyed that John Valvey interview.
Well, I mean, as I said a couple of times, it was about the fact that I got this tape out of nowhere from a cousin of mine, and finally, after 20 years after receiving that tape, came to talk to the guy who created those songs and who wrote them and who sang them. So anyway, let's get to Inside Broadway.
Okay.
First, we'll get the bad news out of the way first. What was I saying, like, the week after the Tony Awards? What was I saying about the show that almost won the Tony for Best Musical?
That Closing Strange is going to be closing.
Closing Strange. That's it. It's
passing Strange will be closing.
Yeah, closing this coming Sunday, July 20th, after only 165 performances.
And what closed today?
What did close today?
I'll give you a hint.
Chorus Line? No, that's two.
It's
only
got
two fingers. It has a V.
V.
Victoire.
And it was a big turkey.
Varicose thing. It was November. November closed today. Okay, that was the Nathan Lane and Lori Metcalf star that also didn't win any Tony's.
Yeah, and you know what else closed today?
What?
This is not from Broadway, though, but something we saw last year.
A theater thing off Broadway.
Way off Broadway.
Oh.
Like Las Vegas Broadway.
You mean not in New York? Or maybe the producers in Vegas closed?
No, producers closed a while back.
Oh, so what else is in Vegas?
Well, right now, Spamalot is not in Vegas.
Oh!
Spamalot finally closed.
Well, yeah, finally. It wasn't there for years.
No, it ran for about a year.
Yeah, okay, so this is the time when things close. I mean, if a show can eke it out until Labor Day, it considers itself pretty lucky, because that's when the next season starts, or everything tries to go.
It's just a shame that Broadway does not play in Vegas. It's unbelievable.
It has trouble.
Avenue Q flopped. The producers didn't do well. This was not a big hit.
Right.
Yeah, Mamma Mia has done okay.
Mamma Mia's done okay. Phantom seems to be doing all right.
Yeah, Phantom seems to be pulling its own.
But Vegas is Vegas. I mean, it's a very different kind of... And yet Cirque du Soleil, whatever they do.
They love them.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic, first of all.
Well, they are. And I guess they're sort of fantastic in a different way from the Broadway experience.
Oh, yeah. It's a different way. There was absolutely no story whatsoever.
Let's see.
And that story, you have to really know it before so you can fill it out.
Yeah. Getting back to some of the other stuff that's happening that is going to be coming to Broadway.
Oh, but I was telling you, November closed.
Yeah.
And you know what it's making room for in the Ethel Barrymore Theater?
Oh, tell.
I know,
but tell the people.
Godspell's coming back.
That's right. The Stephen Schwartz musical has finally... they said it was coming back, but now they booked the theater for October, the Barrymore Theater.
Schwartz musical.
And also, the weird thing is, it booked October 23rd to open, but there's already another show scheduled to open that date, so I'll bet you one of them will move. Speed the Plow, the David Mamet
play. But Speed the Plow doesn't have a theater yet.
Right, exactly. So I think they've already picked their date, but I figure the date will change because they'll have to get another theater. But who's going to speak? I think Jeremy Piven and Raul Esparza, I'm pretty sure, are the cast.
Yeah, I think they just announced joining the cast.
Now, also, I wanted to give a shout-out to someone who's been on the show. I should have been plugging this for a while, but Julie Haggerty, the delightful actress, remember her from Airplane,
yeah,
and all that. She was a guest on Dave's Gone By a couple
and
of years
lovely.
Ago. She is now in The Marriage of Betty and Boo.
through September 7th at the Steinberg Center. That's one of the roundabouts places.
Right. It's the old American Place Theater, as a matter of fact.
That's the American Place. Okay, so it's Christopher Durang's
like six,
wild...
six floors underground.
Yeah, well, two floors underground. It's like a little basement thing. It also co-stars John Glover and Victoria Clark. She won the Tony for Light in the Piazza. Marriage of Betty and Boo with Julie Haggerty. Yay! So congratulations,
yes,
Julie.
Fully.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of shows that I got to see this week off-Broadway. And they're both one-person shows. The first one is a guy who's been on Broadway 8 times before. And this is his... basically his 9th theater show, and as he says, last, Jackie Mason. He's doing it one more time, and since Broadway wasn't that kind to him the last couple of times.
The theater try off Broadway.
A smaller theater, a little less at stake, and, well, it's time.
It's time to say goodnight.
Now, I have to say, to be fair, I saw him on a Wednesday matinee, okay, so it's not...
The problem
it
is...
The Tying House, and
okay.
The... air conditioner was broken, or someone forgot to turn the air conditioner on for the first act. And
oh
so it was not sweltering, but it was not pleasant.
Wait, you must have been having a big heart attack sitting in the theater like that.
Well, even Jackie Mason noticed people, because people were fanning themselves. And
I mean, really? Who's in charge of the air conditioning here?
That's exactly what he said. Exactly. Why is it so hot? It's hot. Isn't it hot? And the thing was that it broke the first rule of comedy. If you're a theater presenter, you always keep the theater cold. If you're doing a comedy or a farce,
you keep them awake.
Because you keep people awake, and also to warm up, they want the physical activity. You clap, you laugh. It makes you warmer when you're in the person next to you. If you're sitting there and you don't want to expend the extra energy to laugh, you're just like, eh. And that's how we were. And you don't want to be like that in a Jackie Mason show. And it didn't help that his material.
The problem is Jackie Mason has had 8 shows before this.
Yeah.
And they're all basically the same. I saw that 3 or 4 of them.
Right. Well, they weren't at first. I mean, he was doing a lot of new material the first couple of times.
No, the material's different, but it's basically the same thing. He sits and he talks about you. There's a little bit of background. He talks like this. And it's great for the first time he did it was fantastic.
Right, yes.
Because he's an old-time Catskill comedian. It spawned something called the Cat... What was it? The Catskill...
Well, Catskills on Broadway eventually
Catskills
came out of that
yeah.
because people realized he was one of the first folks to make people realize, my God, these guys doing the Borscht Belt, they were funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, oh, there were old people that laugh at anything. No.
But the problem is his humor, once you hear it, it's his delivery is hilarious.
Yeah.
His delivery is excellent. But you can't sit through it. It's not, to go see him a second time, you go, oh, that's pretty good. And the third time, you go, maybe if we heard something different, I like it.
Because he'll be telling new material, but he'll be using the same style of joke for the new material. And the problem this time is, and also, I have to say, if it had been like a cooler auditorium and a better crowd, he probably would have gone for more edgy material and more new material. But he knew he was losing everybody, so he had to go to the old standbys. He went to this, he was going to say, well, old that Starbucks routine I did. And then people were like, do it again, do it. So instead of going on to something else, he had to do an abbreviated Starbucks routine.
Okay.
Well, we've all heard that 4,000 times.
Yeah.
But the most disappointing thing was the political. He did Barack Obama, he did versus McCain, but it was not... there was like it was the same. It was the jokes he was using for Al Gore versus.
I'm sure he talked about political correctness.
A little, but no. I mean, he did funny a couple of funny things about toilets, and he uses the F word more now, which the audience was wrong for.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to. It doesn't sound right coming out of his mouth the way it does out of Chris Rock.
Right.
It doesn't make it funnier with him. So
it just makes it bombier.
I can only recommend this Jackie Mason show, A, because if you've never seen him, of course go see him.
Right.
Well, if you haven't seen him in like 15 years, if you're feeling really nostalgic because it may be
the time
last
might be
time,
right, because he might not come back at all.
Well, he won't, he says. I mean, maybe he'll play Westbury or North Fork, whatever they call that now. So it might be your last time, and maybe we should wait until the last week to see him.
I think it's this week.
He's done wonderful things for comedy. This is not necessarily showing him off to best advantage. I think he could have gone out with a bigger and better and smarter bang than this. Oh, well. But there is a pretty cool off-Broadway show playing in the same theater because it's in
Altar
new
Boys?
Stages. Well, the Altar Boys is there too, so is My First Time, so is the Gazillion Bubble Show. They're all in this complex called New World Stages.
Right, I love that place.
So Jackie Mason was there until the middle of August.
And so is Naked Boys Singing, I think, right?
Yeah, I think they're once a week now.
Yeah.
No, seriously, they play a very abbreviated schedule, as does My First Time.
No, they get chilly.
They should have played in the Jackie Mason Theater, in the Jackie Mason. So, anyway, there's this fella named Don Reed. And he's got a one-man show about his life called East 14th. Brand new. Just opened this week.
Uh-huh. At the New World Stages?
At New World Stages. And air-conditioned New World Stages. Don Reed was born in California, black man, born and grew up in the 1970s. And his mother...
Was he looking for the real?
The thing about this show is if you cross Passing Strange with Fat Albert, you get East 14th. Because that was his life. He's a black man growing up. Had the father and the mother totally different types. The mother is very strict and restrictive and church-going and all that. And the father, very loose, easygoing. So the parents split up. He lives with his mother, and she remarries Jehovah's Witness, who's just a little bit off the beam and way too strict for this kid's taste.
Yeah.
So little Don decides to go live with his father across town on the other side of Oakland, California. Well, his dad... is freewheeling and cool and easy, and you know what he does for a living?
You told me.
Yeah, I told you. He's a pimp. And not just a pimp in like the Snoop Shaggy kind of having lots of women that buy him things.
He's a pimp pimp.
He's a pimp pimp, associated with all kinds.
Shag carpeting.
Yeah.
The limo.
The hat.
And hose.
The hair. The
glasses.
Yeah. All of it. This was... When you see those movies in the 1970s, black culture, that was this. That was Don Reed with his father's life.
He was the guy from the black guy from Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, and well, with more hair. Yeah, I mean Reed's bald now, but I mean that was the thing. And in fact, the funniest sequence in the one man show is hair was so important to that culture. I mean, what you did and the way you wore and styled mm-hmm. yourself. So one time he was looking all over. They're going to go pick up girls. He was looking all over for product. To put in his hair. So
he could pick it out.
Yeah. Couldn't find any. All he could think of to use to smooth and give his hair a nice shine was butter.
Oh.
Now, what you imagine would happen on a hot summer's day with butter isn't quite what I thought would happen. But it's this 15-minute sequence of all the different permutations of what happened on that
melt?
Day. I thought it would melt. I thought it might burn his head. He finds things happening in air conditioning. It's hilariously funny and really well told. And this fella, Don Reed, he's a pretty terrific performer. He's got this very malleable face. So when he talks about characters like Trout Mouth, you literally see his mouth go forward like a 2 inches further than the rest of his face. I can't do it. He can. And he has that good facility with his voice.
I like that Trout Mouth.
Trout Mouth. He also has Steak Face. I mean, these are the kids, the nicknames of the kids he was growing up with. And he tells that very well. My only problem with the show is too long, because it's a one-man show that goes an hour 40.
It sounds very similar to the one-man show you liked last year.
Which one was that?
The Bronx Tale. A Bronx Tale.
It's his version of the Bronx Tale, except there isn't as much violence. They're really, considering the people he was associating with.
But, I mean, it just sounds like, you know... And those are the best kind of one-man shows. When they talk about themselves, everything's... Yeah.
Well, here's the makings of a one-man show. True story, deeply felt, really colorful, funny characters. That's what it takes. He meanders a bit, and it goes on and on... If he cut it to like 88 minutes,
I can picture Trout Mouth. Just the way, what was it, pizza?
Not Steak pizza, Face. Steak
no,
Face.
No, no, what was the one from the Bronx Tale? Candy Face. What did they call him?
I do not remember. Now, I love that show, though. I don't even remember the guy's name. Who did the Bronx, Chaz Palminteri.
Right.
So, again, imagine the Italian characters in that. And then you've got the black characters that he grew up, the kid who jumps around and spits all the time. And when Don Reed was little, he had a blinking thing. He would blink all the time. So whenever
they call it blinking.
Yeah, well, you know what? The more I think about the show, the more I kind of liked it. So everybody, even though it's too long, really talented guy, good story, go see East 14th at New World Stages.
That sounds good.
And remember, the butter story. be there for the butter story. It's really, really good.
Do you put popcorn in his hair and have buttered popcorn?
I didn't think of that. But you can.
I would put popcorn in my hair and just as it would pop. But,
well, this is a good time for you to get your microwaves and make that popcorn, because we've got a quick commercial to do, and then we'll have the end of this edition of Dave's Gone By. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Do you know who pays for this wonderful program? Not the radio station, not the government, not even the vicious comedy elves. No, the people who keep Dave's Gone By going are the sponsors and the listeners, people getting their message across to Dave's audience. Your advertising dollars can support every show, while at the same time bringing Dave's listeners to your restaurant, your travel agency, your yogurt shop, whatever. And if you don't think advertising on Dave's Gone By is effective, a certain theater magazine, mortgage company, and copy shop would surely beg to differ. So, try a half-minute ad for half a year, or a full-minute ad for a whole year. Either way, you will become part of the Dave's Gone By family. A strange, dysfunctional family, but a family nonetheless. See the rate card at davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com and they will be in touch.
Hey, this is John Valby, Dr. Dirty, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport. You're going to have a great night.
Dave's Gone By. Dave's Gone By.
Yeah, there goes the neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, it's already 12:04 a.m. How fast it goes.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, as we left Inside Broadway, I realized for the last, like, 3 or 4 months, we've been promising to tell people about
Sunday in the Park with George.
So, I think we should wrap up Sunday in the Park with George
Especially
now.
Especially since it closed, yeah.
I was just going to say, it opened at Studio 54, it was very, very good, very inventive with the projections, and then it closed. So, we're not going to talk anymore about Sunday in the Park with George, are we?
I recommend if they reopen it, go see it. But right now you can't. Don't.
But now they're opening, Danson.
Oh, that's coming this season. Dancing is coming
and
this season.
And what's opening there now?
Well, we've got Title of Show opening this week.
That's no, what's opening around the
I don't know either.
We'll probably look into that for next week.
The season is sorting itself out, just as we are escorting ourselves out of Dave's Gone By for this week on WGBB Freeport.
We just don't want to leave the neighborhood.
I know, but first we have to thank our sponsors. We got to do that.
Let's thank Performing Arts Insider.
The Bible of Broadway, 10% off. Oh, no, excuse me. Much more than 10% off. It's like 30% off for Dave's Gone By listeners for Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Go to performingartsinsider.com for subscription information. Also, 10% off at
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
The copy king of Broadway. Since the mid-1970s, Hewlett Minuteman Press, for all your copy jobs, big and small. And speaking of small and big parties, big party, who do you call? Who are you going to call to make it look good?
Call Fancy Schmancy Balloons at 516-797-3229. That's 516-797-3229.
Ask for Jeff. He will hook you up and make your party look really, really terrific. Speaking of which, I want to thank for making the... this episode sound really, really terrific. Thanks to Dr. Dirty, John Valby. Wanted to get him
and
on.
Thank him for keeping his language toned down.
Yeah, you know. He was really... I've had other people not do what he does for his career, and they've let dirty words slip, and I had a cut in the editing. He was fine. He was great. So I want to thank him. Also, Paul Amana for helping to set that up.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, man. Thanks to my adorable and delightful and... delicious and sweet wife.
Not
Joyce.
Your pregnant wife.
No. And thanks to my great parents, Mom and Dad. And yeah.
Doris and Phil.
Who's Doris and Phil?
Your parents.
Doris? Brenda. who the heck is Doris?
I don't know. I just figured I'd make names.
I don't think I've ever met anybody named Doris. Anyway.
And what's your father's first name?
Phil.
Oh, it really is?
Oh, so you didn't know about
no,
the whole part either?
No, it was just like, yes.
Well, let's see. In the coming weeks on Dave's Gone By, we've got pianist and authoress Sarah Sion. She wrote a book about dealing with your mother-in-law, so she's going to be kind of fun to talk to, and I think we're going to get the rabbi to talk to her. Plus, the rabbi's going to be doing an interview, Rabbi Saul Solomon, for those of you who don't know what I'm to oh, whom cool. I'm referring, is going to be talking to critic and author, author Julius Novick. He's written a book about American Jewish playwrights and what they're influenced by and what influenced them during the 20th century. Cool guy and very, very smart
is
man.
He orange?
Is he what?
Orange.
Orange Julius Novick? Okay. And who else? There's one other... Well, you just have to keep tuning in to find out who our other guests are. We have another cool guest. I'm just blanking.
We can't tell the name, remember? It's so big, it's a secret.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, it's huge. It's beyond huge.
I'll give a hint.
Yeah.
She had two babies today.
No, we're not having Angelina Jolie.
Oh, was Angelina Jolie didn't say yes?
No, we're waiting. We have calls out to her people.
Her people called back and said yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, in our dream, well, in my dreams anyway. But we have to leave for dreamland now and leave the neighborhood. So thank you so much for listening tonight. But we will be back next week, July 20th, Sunday night at 11, with the 283rd episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. And
I'm Jeff Goodman.
And want to wish you good night, dirty dreams,
and gone by.
Your mother goes down for rejection. So sing me another verse. First as the others, don't see around my
body. I was watching a little of the Masters today, so how about Tiger Woods, that big golfing star? Pick up 18 sluts at a bar. He went up the bump. He said, this course is tough, but I'm stroking at 6 under par. Your mother likes bird on the stop sign. Give me another bird to swerve. Another old dinner. Once was a girl named Louise, who had a great thing between her knees. With just one whip, she can make any man stiff. Behold the power of cheese. Your mother has a hole in her SARS mask. Who I like that one. How about my slut sister's been having mood swings? Cramps that her period brings. She could be your sucker, but if you still want her, I may have to pull a few strings. Your mother has a 2-for-1 bitchin' special. The waitress took me around back. And then just for fun, she added a turd and a bun. She called it a New Haven Big Mac. Your mother lost one of her eyes milking the mule. When I turned her to bed, they nearly knocked on